name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Growing up, my mom used to say that I was generally a pretty good kid. I oftentimes didn't make my bed, but I usually pick up stuff in my room and generally didn't speak back or, you know, give her lip, that sort of thing. But every once in a while, I would challenge, you know, I'd be watching a movie or something, and she'd say, you know, Harold, it's time to go to bed. And I'd say, oh, Mom, come on, you know, just like any kid, a few more minutes, just let me hang out and whatever. She said, no, you got school tomorrow, time to go to bed. And I would say, that's not fair, that's not right. That's not right. And I'm sure your kids probably said the same thing. And she would say to me, well, you know, life isn't fair. And that really never did much to assuage the fact that I didn't get my way, but, you know, life is not fair. So when I had kids and they started doing the same thing to me, I would say to them, you know, they'd want to stay up or they want more cookies or more this, more that. I'd say, no, you've had enough. They'd say, life is not fair. That's not fair. I want this. I would say, you know, just like my mom said, life is not fair. And we know life is not fair, but we have examples this morning in Scripture, both in the book of Jonah and in the gospel, about persons who thought that life wasn't fair. Jonah, take the example of Jonah the prophet. Now you remember, Jonah was given a task by God, and Jonah didn't actually want to fulfill that task, so he ran and fled from God and went on the big ship, and then God caused the big storm to come up, and remember, they threw him overboard, and the fish swallowed him up. It makes for a wonderful story, but it's a wonderful thing. And then all of a sudden, Jonah has this conversion experience in the belly of the whale or the fish. Fish spits Jonah out. And Jonah agrees to do what God wants him to do, which is go to the people of Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a great city, but the people had lost their way and weren't doing what they were supposed to. It was basically just a horrible, terrible place. And God had given Jonah the task to go there and call them to repentance. And Jonah did. And the people actually responded. Word got back to the king, and even the king sat in sackcloth and ashes and repented of the evil ways. And so God originally was going to destroy the great city and just level it and, you know, just kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah, that sort of thing. But God saw that both the king and the people had turned their ways and turned back to God. But that displeased Jonah. Jonah was given a task, and Jonah wanted to see Nineveh, for whatever reason, destroyed. God said he was going to do this, and Jonah expected him to carry through. And so Jonah goes and he sulks. You know, he goes and finds a little spot on the east side of the city, and he's just probably saying to himself, this is not what I expected. Life's not fair. God said he was going to do this, and he did this, and whatever. Jonah missed the point. What God did was show his gracious mercy and his everlasting love to the people of Nineveh who repented. And for some reason, Jonah couldn't either wrap his head or his heart around that. He wanted to see that calamity befall the people. So God goes to Jonah and he says, Jonah, why are you so angry? Why are you so angry about this? And Jonah says, I just want to die. I want my own way. I just want to die. Life's not fair. Life's not fair. You know, I wanted to see this happen, and now it's not going to happen. Oh, boo-hoo, whine, whine, whine. Just like us sometimes, too, right? And then we have the laborers. And, you know, it's a tough story. You think about it. If you were given a task to do, and you worked and labored all day, and then somebody came, you know, at 3 o'clock, and then at 5 o'clock, and at the end of the day, they got the same amount of wage that you did, you know, you would be pretty hurt, right? You would say, that's not fair. That's really not fair. But the owner of the vineyard says, you know, it's mine to give. It's the generosity that I have to offer. And don't I have the right to give it as I want to give it? So don't be so worried about it. But I think the thing that bugged them the most wasn't just that they got the same wage, but that the ones that came at the end got it first. You know, the rest of them labored all day, right, in the field, in the sun. But the ones who came and only worked an hour when the sun had started to go down, you know, they kind of, you know, got the better end of the deal. So they're all mad. So you can hear them saying in their hearts and their minds, too, life's not fair. And they said, so the gospel even says that they grumble, that life is not fair. So I want you to consider what is fair in the eyes of God and what is not. His bountiful grace and mercy is unending and beyond our scope of imagination in terms of depth, breadth, and width. So consider the case of Pete. Pete's sort of a fictitious character because I can't divulge pastoral things, but Pete's sort of a fictitious character. Pete lived a rather difficult life. He married twice, divorced, lost a child, suffering from cancer. Pete wound up in the ICU. And an Episcopal priest went to visit somebody else in a bed next to him and brought communion. And the Episcopal priest goes over to Pete and asks him if he'd like to join in the service. And Pete said that he hadn't been to church for a long time and that he really didn't thought he believed in God and he didn't see the point of it. And why would I do this now? You know, I'm going to die soon. He was stage four. Why would I want to, you know, get close to God now? And the priest said to him, well, you know, there's always time. There's always time to return to God and receive that grace and that mercy. And Pete received the sacrament, and Pete actually even made his confession. And Pete learned that moment, that day, that all the things in his life that he had done wrong, and they were many, and all of the things that fell short of the glory of God were in that moment transformed. In that moment, he was brought back to God in the fullness of grace, the fullness of mercy, and understood that that love that God has for him and for each of us is everlasting. So was that fair? Was that fair? In the eyes of us, maybe, maybe not. So you all are good folk. You come, you sing, you offer praise to God, right? Many of you do the Bible studies. Many of you do work in the community. Many of you were here yesterday doing Creative Corner. Many of you do, like I said, good things with your neighbors. Maybe some of you say your prayers every single day. I hope all of you say your prayers every single day. Maybe you seriously take, you know, to heart confession when you get on your knees asking God to forgive and to pardon you. So you've done everything right throughout your entire life. And Pete, who just at the end of his life turns his life to God, and you've worked and labored all your lives. Is that fair? Is that fair? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you wouldn't want it any other way, would you? You wouldn't want it any other way. You wouldn't want Pete to be turned away. And you wouldn't want that last opportunity, if it came to that, to have God forgive you and to be brought back into his full gracious goodness and loving kindness. You wouldn't want it any other way. And that's God's merciful and bountiful love. And so I ask you this morning, is life fair? Is it fair? Well, I say yes, it is. And I say to that, praise God. Because the life that God offers to us is not this temporal life in which we reside right now, but it is eternal life. It's life with him in the kingdom where there is no sorrow, suffering, or pain, but life eternal with Almighty God. So life is not fair, maybe this life, but the life to come is. And to that, I say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.